Coming up next, it's Natalie Cutler-Welsh with her show, Up Your Brave. Community, connections, holistic health, and more on RCR. Reality Check Radio.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. I am so thrilled to join you today. I hope you enjoyed Counterculture with the amazing Marie Buskey, if you've been listening. Maybe you've been listening since the morning. Maybe you listened to The Breakfast Show. I was so honored last week. I don't know if you heard, but I was in Queenstown. I think it was my first time in about 15, maybe 13 years being down in Queenstown. It was so incredible. First of all, the scenery is outstanding. I forgot how gorgeous it is down there. Second of all, it was amazing to be down there for the event that I emceed, which was the Safe and Effective event, with so many people talking about truth and uplifting stories, as well as heart-wrenching stories post-COVID. So that was fascinating and emotional. But also to be in the RCR studio, and I got to pop in, I got to see Paul Brennan in action, and then later on, I got to record with Rodney a little bit on his show, which was awesome, and then to do my show as well. So if you were listening last week, I don't know if it sounded a little bit different for my intro, but I was in the actual studio. So today I'm back in my home studio, back in Auckland, but I'm really excited to actually get out and about, as we like to say in Canada, a little bit more in 2025. I'm very keen to go and visit a few more places that I haven't been to in a long time. So welcome to the Up Your Brave show. If you're new here, I would love to extend a welcome. My name is Natalie Cutler-Welsh, and here it's all about motivation, inspiration, holistic health, empowered living, all the things. And like I said, last week it's been a whirlwind because I was in Queenstown last weekend. And then this past weekend, I was at the Go Green Expo. And if you don't know, when I'm not busy doing my radio show and amongst other things, I have a business which is called upyourbrave.com. And I'm a vitality mentor, and I help people to feel better, to show up with more resilience, more confidence, to speak their truth, to be healthy and well. And I do that with doTERRA essential oils. So I was literally on my feet all day at the Go Green Expo. And then at the very last minute, like literally the 11th hour at about 7:30 at night, we suddenly got offered 2 free tickets to go to see Coldplay. Now, I'm not a huge concert goer. In fact, in the past 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, I haven't even been to a concert. But my 13-year-old was really keen to go, and we got offered these tickets. So I went from standing on my feet all day to standing on my feet, not so much all night, but for a couple of hours that night. And it was pretty awesome, I have to say. I think their message is about joy and peace. But I am, however, very wary, basically, of any celebrity. I'm a little bit wary of lyrics and messaging and all the things. But it felt like a good event, and it was really cool, actually, just to take my youngest and to do something really special with him. So that was cool. So then I went back the next day to the Go Green Expo, which is really, really amazing. And so there's a lot happening. There's a lot happening in the world. The shift in energy and a lot of emotions arising with people in the outcome of the USA American election. I'm sure you've seen lots of videos, and I know we've been talking about it a lot on RCR. I'm not really going to talk about it too much at all. We're going to dive into my guests in just a moment, but I also want to acknowledge the hikoi that's happening as well, that's been happening over the last few days. I personally have a view that, you know, whenever people are able to express their views, so express rather than suppress, it's a good thing in my world. It's a good thing when people are able to freely express their views, because as I often talk about, when we do suppress our views, we water down our words, or we just shove down our emotions, it does not end well in terms of health and well-being. So it'll be interesting to see how things shift and change and evolve in the coming weeks and coming months. So here's what is coming up today on the show. I've got, first of all, please let your Australian friends know about this, because today I'm going to be chatting with Anne-Marie Lyons about superannuation specifically for Australians. But however, don't get too put off, because if you have any friends that are expats, so they are maybe Australians living in a different country, or maybe they are Kiwis or from any other nationality, but they've been working for an Australian company, then they might want to know about this. There might be some financial benefits on the table for them She's going to walk us through the 9 things that you need to know about superannuation. Yes, some of these things are moderately relevant for KiwiSaver, so stay tuned. But definitely shoulder tap any of your Australian mates who might want to catch the replay. Anne-Marie Lyons has over 36 years of experience in the world of finance and banking, primarily in Australia. And she used to work in the area of operational risks and management. And since retiring, her focus has really shifted to helping people with financial literacy and specifically superannuation. So following that, I will be chatting with Laurel Wilson. And we're going to be talking about optimizing your experience of menopause. I know, I feel like every other show I'm doing these days is about menopause. So apologies if you've heard a lot about menopause, but this is great because we're chatting and she's going to give a different perspective as well. We've been doing a whole series about menopause. It's a very topical topic. And in fact, one of my previous guests, Lisa Tregenza, she was on my show a few weeks back, about a month or so ago, but she was on The Breakfast Show just a few days ago talking about natural remedies for menopause, which, as you know, I am a big fan of all things natural. So definitely check out that replay when you get a chance in The Breakfast Show replays. Laurel is an international speaker and author, a wellness advocate with over 30 years of experience supporting women through various life stages, as an integrative nutrition health coach, certified menopause practitioner, and certified menopause weight loss coach. She specializes in guiding women through transitions such as perimenopause and menopause. Well, there you go. So stay tuned. That's our show for today. I'm actually going to add a little bonus content and reflections, a little flashback later on in the show as well. But first, let's go to a song. I'm going to choose Coldplay. We're going to go to a song called A Head Full of Dreams by Coldplay. Here it is.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show on Reality Check Radio. And next up, we're going to be talking all about superannuation, but in Australia. I'm talking to Anne-Marie Lyons on the topic of superannuation in Australia, the 9 key things you need to know. Welcome to the show, Anne-Marie.
Thank you very much, Natalie, for having me. It's wonderful.
So good to connect with you. You and I met in person. I know your daughter, and I don't know anything about superannuation, so I'm excited to dive in. For those of you that don't know Anne-Marie is an educator and a mentor. She has 36 years experience in the world of banking and finance, primarily in Australia. Her qualifications as an operational risk manager, coupled with her certificate, number 4, assessment and workplace training, AIM, ensured her compliance workshop programs were highly sought after. Since retiring, she has focused her unique and simple approach towards creating a financial literacy workshop dedicated towards the education of women as it relates to understanding their superannuation statement. Statistics have shown the future face of poverty is female. Interesting. Hence, Anne-Marie, with her workshop, aims to reverse this trend, allowing women to take what they learn and pay the information forward. Her program primarily is for women to assist them to navigate and understand how to read their superannuation statement, pointing out the 9 key areas of importance. Well, I'm excited. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're not in Australia, you might be an expat or you might have a friend. I think everyone has a friend that's Australian, don't they?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, Anne-Marie, before we dive into the 9 key things, I would love it if you could share with my listeners a little bit of your backstory. What brought you to this place to now be helping people with superannuation?
Thank you, Natalie. I guess, yes, I worked as a single mum through the banking sector, and I was with the same organisation for all of that time, so nearly 40 years. And during that time, I was lucky enough to meet other financial people, in particularly around superannuation, financial planning, and I had access to all of that for nothing. I could just knock on a door, speak to financial planners and others, and I guess I was just absorbing all of this information. Hence, I was able to then relay that information in my training sessions to staff. And as I became, I guess, as my career then 5 years ago came to an abrupt stop where I became unwell and I needed to leave the workforce for a period of time. I guess lucky enough, I had health benefits. I had holiday pay, sick pay, all of those things when you've been working in an industry for a long time. So I was able to concentrate on getting myself well. But during that time, I met many women, many people, men as well, who were struggling with financially, how am I going to stay away from work, the workforce, when I don't have any leave owing to me? What am I going to do? And I was lucky enough to be able to have that conversation with people and say, have you thought about you might have some benefit attached to your super, like income protection, something that might help you buffer you as you're trying to get back to work? And I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not licensed to give advice, but I'm just talking to people. That's what I love doing, and helping them. So I would talk to people, and during that time frame, many listened to what I had to say, and I was just hoping they could take that information back. And as I say, if it's not going to help you as an individual, maybe like myself, I drive my family mad. Okay, guys, have you got your super? Like, I've got a niece at the moment who's just started work in Australia, buying her first home. And I say to her, have you looked at your superannuation? Have you looked at the 9 key things that you should be thinking about? Because it doesn't matter in Australia, because it's mandatory having super. There might be 100 superannuation companies, but the 9 key aspects of what you should look for comes directly from the Australian government website, and it's the same across all of them. It's never changed. Very simple things that people need to look for. So I found myself thinking about, and I didn't return to work as I was coming into retirement as well, and I put together this program, Let's Talk, and I delivered it across groups in Australia, Zoom calls, anyone that I could touch, because reading the Future Face of Poverty is Female report that came out from Monash University, it was the story of many women particularly who were finding themselves after they had brought their children up, looked after their elderly parents, left the workforce, they found themselves in financial difficulty. And I thought, wow, if there's just one message I can give out to my audience is have you looked at the aspects of your super, you might be entitled to financial benefit. And I guess one thing that's come across since COVID, we have many people who are unwell, who have had to leave the workforce for various reasons. And again, I stipulate, maybe this is something you might have. So now with my workshop, I've been here in New Zealand for a couple of years, thinking about how can I also impact people here, and having that conversation with you about expats was a perfect trigger for me to think, wow, how can I influence expats as well? Because you might have a superannuation, you might have worked in Australia just for 8 months, but you may have these 9 key things that you should still be thinking about and sharing it with your family so they also know. So exactly. They might benefit. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly why I wanted you to come on, because even though I'll do financial related type topics, but my show is all about empowerment. And if we can empower some Australians who are living here in New Zealand, or maybe they're living somewhere else, but to be aware of, you know, if there's money on the table or if there's opportunities that they're just not aware of, it's a real shame. So I really love to shine the light on issues, but also on opportunities for people. So that's what you're going to do today, because I don't know anything about it. I'm just going to ask the questions. Let's go through. Let's talk about the 9 things people need to know about superannuation in Australia.
Yes, thank you. And as I said, these 9 key things are straight off the Australian government website. The order may have changed, but the content has never changed. So the first one is making sure your personal details are up to date. Name, address, very simple information. Number 2, do you have a tax file number attached? I think many people that have a bank account would know that the banks usually ask you for your tax file number. So this is a pot of money as well. You need to make sure your tax file number is attached to it. Your super contributions are regular and on time. So employers in Australia need to make sure they make regular contributions to your super, and are they on time? And what tends to happen is people set it and forget it. But have you actually, you can see the money coming out, your paycheck, but where is it actually going? Is it actually going into the super account? And that's where your statement, your superannuation statement, is the thing that I'm talking to. You pull that out of the drawer. Most people, when they get it in the mail, it's a big document. They just look at the balance. Oh, mm-hmm. Great, I've got this amount of money. But you need to make sure that these nine key things are also completed as part of the setup of your superannuation account. And then you can put it in a drawer. As I say, most people just look at the balance, put it away, and don't think anything else about it. So your contributions. And a lot of people now, which has been good.
On that note, I literally yesterday just pulled my daughter's KiwiSaver out of the drawer.
Right,
I only looked at the total. So.
No, you will do KiwiSaver. I don't know a lot about it, but the same sort of thing. That money, it's going. You can see it coming out of your paycheck, but have a look at the statement. Mm-hmm. Is it going into the account? Because then your account's going to be growing. Now you can look online, or a lot of companies and organizations have apps. So my superannuation fund, I've got the app, I can go on and see that those contributions are actually going into the account, because yeah. Sometimes they haven't, because it's up to the employer to make sure that that happens. So very important, don't just look at the balance, correct. Number four, your money is invested appropriately. As I say, I'm not a financial advisor, I can't help you with that, but when you're looking at your investment options, when I first started work 20 years of age, there wasn't a lot of money balance in my super, so I could take a risk and invest my money in a high-risk venture. As you get older, advisors will definitely tell you to look at that strategy. So it's just a strategy. What my financial advisor would say to me is when you have an event change, so if you get a pay rise, a promotion, you buy a house, you get married, you have children, they're the real critical times that you should be looking at your superannuation and how it is invested. Because if you're looking, because none of us, I'm not that interested in the ups and downs of the markets. How could anyone really understand it? Generally, you'll go to a financial advisor for that information or contact your superannuation fund. Number five, you're not paying too much.
Can I just jump in before you get to number five? Because so if one of these things isn't done, like it can really break the chain of the flow of the money. So for example, if someone didn't have their tax file number attached, does that mean there's a glitch in the system? Something might not.
Well, you'll be paying a higher rate of tax on your investment. If your employer isn't sending the money to the fund, then your balance is stagnant.
Yeah.
And it's not going up. And as we know, anything that's, when we talk about compounded effect, the compounded interest that's going on in your account, you need that money and that deposit, even if it's a small amount going into your account. But if your employer isn't sending that money to the account, it might be, say, 5 years down the track, which I had one friend, they could fix it. They could get the money back into that account, but they'd lost 5 years of compound effect.
So they can't back pay.
Well, the money can go in, but the compound effect was lost. Yeah. So good question. Okay. Yeah,
and absolutely. Just to clarify before we move on to number five, this is relevant for anyone who has been employed by some sort of Australian organization, whether they might live in New Zealand or they might live anywhere around the world, but they're being employed. Okay. And there's possibly some money owing carry on.
Yeah. And I think, and we'll talk about that in a sec, but you might have jumped employed. So in Australia, they did one really good thing. People were moving jobs and they had five or six different superannuations account. Consolidation is also important. And the government made that a much easier process now. So most people would understand consolidation of all of those supers, so it's just happening into one at the moment. Yeah, so you're not losing track of where your money's actually being invested. Mm.
Okay, so number five,
you're not paying too much in fees. And that really is a personal thing. When you're looking at your statement, you can go onto your super fund's website, CANSAR, which is a body that looks at all the superannuation accounts in Australia, you can compare. So it's like anything when you're comparing fees, when you're looking at a service, are you getting value for money? And are you happy with that, basically? And just making sure your account's not being eaten up by all of these fees. And there's lots of ways you can do that. Number six, number six, the most important one is you're adequately insured for your needs. So when we talk about that, my situation of being unwell and going into hospital, when I couldn't return back to work, I knew I had income protection. Now, I had that because my financial advisor said, Anne-Marie, you know, when you buy your first home, you need to make sure that the thing that the primary thing that pays for all the bills, so not your car insurance, not your health insurance, the thing that will pay all the bills when you're unable to work is your income protection. And through my super, it happened to be a little cheap. It happened to be cheaper to get it through my super than elsewhere. And it was all in one place. Now, I was able to get, just an example for myself, 5 years worth of 80% of my income, which was quite high at that point, regularly into my account, which meant I could just concentrate on getting well, staying well, and doing the things that I really enjoyed in life without having to worry about how was I going to pay the mortgage. I could have lost my house if I didn't have it because I couldn't return back to work. So number six for me is, for me, the most important. It's the one that I stress to my family and friends while I'm talking to them. You might already have private insurance. That's quite fine too. But make sure you don't have, again, if you have a number of insurances around you, do you need them all? Can you access, because you can't access all of them when you want them. You can only access the one, right? Death benefits. So a lot of people, particularly in the Indigenous community, they might have a small amount in superannuation, like $5,000, but they take a death benefit so that their families don't have to worry about funeral arrangements and things like that. I mean, we don't like to talk about those things that are going to happen eventually. But it doesn't matter that you have a small amount in super. The insurance aspect of it is very important, particularly for income protection, death and disability. Yeah, really. So for me, number six is the most critical one. Number seven, your listed beneficiaries are still correct. So when you open up and have a super account, you usually nominate. So for myself, I have one child. So my daughter is my beneficiary. So if something happens to me, this, my superannuation will go to her. So in the effect of you have a marriage, it'd be maybe a spouse. Have you divorced, remarried? Have you had more children? So again, when something important, life-changing has happened in your life, have you looked at that? And is it how you want it to be? So a simple thing. That'll be in your superannuation statement.
Really important, because most people would think about, oh, my will is sorted. You know, is my will updated? This is different. So it needs to be within the superannuation?
Yeah, I used to look at it, and I think when I was advising my customers in a banking perspective, your will, yeah, very important. I made sure. So I used to look at my will, my all these financial imperatives like my banking account, my superannuation. I only have the one child, but regardless, that it was the same across all of them. Because, yes, your will is one aspect of it, and, of course, anything can be challenged. But it is very important that your wishes are put down in your accounts, and superannuation also being one of those. Yeah, absolutely. So I always used to think of having it the same across all of them. Yeah. It would just make it easier when you're not there, that there is no then dispute what your wishes actually were. Yeah. Number eight, your super is consolidated if appropriate. So we talked about that earlier. I don't know how long it was ago that the government made the consolidation process a lot easier, because what they found is people, and it's still the case, you might have super sitting out in the ether. You can, there's a website you can go to on the Australian government site to find your super, but they did make it easier for people to consolidate super, because it used to go from one job to another and you'd have a separate super account. Nowadays, not the case. You would give your new employer your superannuation account details and they would just deposit the funds into that. So they have made it a lot easier. Number nine, you're happy with your fund overall, very simple. So all of those things, are you happy with the way your fund is performing? As I say, you can go on to the Cancer website. It's just a site that is independent of all these superannuation accounts, If you go onto the government website, you can see that information. And it just does a tally of all the top performing. I mean, most people, when they start their first job, they go with whatever their employer is going to go with.
Yes.
That's fine too. But how is it performing against all the others? And we talked about fees earlier. But, just are you happy with your fund overall? I mean, a lot of us probably don't have contact with our fund until you need to. So in my situation 5 years ago, I needed to have contact with them and I needed to access my income protection. I let my financial advisor contact them on my behalf, which was wonderful. They actually then sent a nurse out to my home and she wasn't working for the super fund. She was independent of that. And the first thing she said to me is, I'm going to go through the paperwork on your behalf and I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to advocate for you and make sure that we get the best deal we can for you. Wonderful peace of mind, which I didn't know was something that I was entitled to at the time. They just, that was something that they did. So wonderful story. And I tell that story to people that I speak to. People think about financial advice. It's not that. It's about the 9 key aspects that are attached to any Australian superannuation. So what we've spoken about just now applies to all of them and hasn't changed.
Yeah, so someone might have done some work and they just haven't really thought about or looked at their super for a couple of years. This will be a great little reminder. Hey, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Log in or dig it out of the drawer. What was that website again? Can you spell it for me, the cancer website?
Yes. Let me just have a look. Well, ASIC would probably be a great place to start, or CanStar, CanStar. They're the research agency in Australia that does the research on all the superannuation accounts. So CanStar, CanStar.
Dot what?
Oh, they com? May be .com.au.
.au, yeah.
I haven't got their website number.
I'm sure they can find
CanStar.
It.
Yeah. They're, I actually sent a document to you that probably has a link to it, so that's easy enough to find. But most people, as I say, my family are always hearing these stories from me. And my friends, so hence when I put the workshop together, which usually goes for about 40, 45 minutes and or I can do Zoom calls. And while I was living in Australia, I was able to go, as I say, it was primarily women only because of the Monash University research paper that came out that talked about the future face of poverty is female. I mean, that was such a statement when I read it. And you know what? It got me angry. I thought it doesn't need to be that way. It just doesn't need to be that way. What can I do? So hence the program. But it is for everybody, male, female, and share that information. Share it with your children and talk to your spouse, talk to your children and let them know that, this is what you've done with your super and that all the boxes have been ticked.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Of course, people can go and check it out and they can cross-reference. They can go through these list of 9 things on their own. But sometimes having someone, I just hold their hand kind of, walk them through it, explain things. That's more my style. I'm more like, can you just double check it for me? And can you can you help me?
Well, when I ran the workshop,
no problem asking for help.
I say to people, bring your super to the group. Bring it to our Zoom call and we can go through it, point by point. And sometimes it's a matter of, wow, I haven't got all my personal information accurate. I haven't got a beneficiary listed. All you do is contact the superannuation. Once you've set those 9 key things up and you're comfortable with them, you can forget it. So it's a set and forget.
Okay, love it. All right, we're almost at the end of our time. Before we get to the wrap-up questions, I wanted to ask you, is there a specific issue in the world right now at the moment that is, that you care deeply about? Anything you want to share with us in terms of society or humanity?
Yeah, I guess, I'm a child of the 70s, the 60s and the 70s. And I think for me, family, neighbours, my neighbourhood and my community are what's important to me. Making sure, first of all, and I guess this is something I hadn't thought about in my younger years, is putting ourselves first, making sure we're well as an individual, and then we are then able to go out and help our family and our neighbours and friends. And I think people feel isolated They feel that. They feel if they listen, first of all, please turn off the television. It's probably the first thing I would say. And I think once you've done that and you turn outward to your family, your friends and your neighbourhood, even if it's like I did yesterday, going next door to my neighbour, just having a conversation with her, it just made me feel better to know that there was someone next door. And hence then I moved over here 2 years ago, because once I'd retired, I missed my family. I missed my grandchildren and my daughter. So I was able to come over and spend time and hopefully, you know, live my life out here with them. Not everyone can do that, of course. So if we picked up
the
phone.
Did you find the Kiwis welcoming?
Oh, very much so. They were all a bit surprised how I got here, because it was 2 years ago, just during the whole COVID debacle thing. That's a story, and that's another conversation for another time. But, yeah, definitely. And Kiwis, they are open-hearted, man, and they love to travel too. You know, that surprised me how much the, you know, Kiwis do love to travel. But we have the same values as we do in Australia. It is all family, neighbours, and I think for me it's how can I give it back? And this is my way of paying forward to others, is to garnish that information that I have in my stories and share that with others. And it makes me feel good, and it's information that empowers others, particularly women.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to this question first. I'm going to flip it for a change. How can people connect with you if they want to get a little bit of help with their superannuation as an Australian? Where can they find you?
Facebook's probably the main one. So I'm Women's Financial Health Advocate, all joined one word, or my name, Anne-Marie Lyons, and my Big Pond email address, which is Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S-A-M, at bigpond.com. So Facebook or email is absolutely fine. Yeah, that's it.
Amazing.
Probably the easiest way to catch
Do
up.
Do you run your program regularly, or once you get enough people interested, that's when you do it? How does that work?
Yes, I haven't run any regular ones here, because generally the program was styled so that I could present myself physically to women's groups in Australia. So I had a lot of contacts in Australia. So now what I do is I email out my program and connecting that way to groups in Australia still, and via Zoom. So I ran a few in Australia for women, and a couple of sisters wanted to get together and have a Zoom conference with me. I haven't run anything of recent times because I was trying to work out the target audience, and it wasn't until you and I connected and you talked about expats, and I thought, right.
Yeah. Just thinking, I don't want people to miss out if there's things money on the table, or if like there's a glitch in their system and the money's not going to the right place, or they're paying the wrong tax, right? We don't want that.
Yeah,
so,
of course. Yeah. I have put up information previously on my Facebook page, and I've just created an Instagram site as well. So I'm in the process of connecting those. And after our talk today, I'll be in the next week or so putting more information up where people can go. So that's usually now the online thing has become so important, is posting that information online and trying to connect with people the best way I can. So that's my thing at the moment, is how can I best connect with those who need this information? And are there what groups are out there of expats that I can, you know, we can get together and, you know, over a cup of coffee, chat about these things? That'd be what I'd love to do eventually.
Exactly.
Is to be able to do that.
Now, you might have already just answered this question. I don't know. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
Well, definitely that. It's how do I connect to the Australian expat community? How do I best do that? That's what I'm trying to explore now, and my online presence. Because I do love the connecting with a group, particularly of women. You know, that's my thing. That's what I love doing. And it might be that your husband has worked or is working for an Australian company, and you'd like to know more, or bring him to the table and let's have a conversation. Don't know.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Okay, so if any of our listeners have connections with Australians or expats, you can get in touch with Anne-Marie directly, or you can send us a message. We'd love to know what you learned from this session. Or any added questions you might have, you can send us a text, 2057. You can send us an email, inbox@realitycheck.radio. All right, Anne-Marie, to wrap things up, what else? Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
Oh, look, I think is just really, I know in the world at the moment, I guess it seems a bit upside down and turmoil everywhere. I think all I can say is stay connected to your family, to your friends, to your neighbours, to your community. And, we'll get through these times, definitely. And, yeah, just stay connected. And if you're someone you haven't spoken to for a long time, like my brother yesterday, pick up the phone and, you know, connect and say hi.
Such a good reminder. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie Lyons, for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Anne-Marie Lyons. You can find her on the socials. She's on Instagram. She's also on Facebook. Let's Talk Super is her handle. And yeah, it's so interesting to hear a little bit about superannuation. And just, I think the scenario really is to think about, you know, think about if something happens to you or a friend of yours, making sure that you're organized. You've got kind of the ducks in a row, but also if something has happened and someone's really struggling, there might be, as I like to say, money on the table. That's probably not the words that Anne-Marie uses, but I think it's really important to know these things. So some of them are kind of, you might've thought of them like, oh, having a will, making sure you've got some insurance or at least adjusting your insurance policy. But there's always a few new things to learn. I definitely learned some things. I hope you did as well. You can also find Anne-Marie on LinkedIn, and I know she does some consults, so you can get in touch with her if you want her to help you review your superannuation and see if there are any benefits for you. If you like this interview, you will also enjoy my interviews about money and money mindset and things like that. I talked to Jeff from Gold Survival Guide, and I also talked to Tony Knight. You can go to the Up Your Bravery Plays and have a search for those ones as well. Let's go to a song. This is a song that Anne-Marie recommended. It is called If Not Now by Tracy Chapman. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh here on Reality Check Radio. I'm so thrilled to be introducing my next guest. We are going all the way to America, to Denver, in fact. I'm going to be chatting with Laurel Wilson on the topic of optimizing your experience of menopause. Welcome to the show, Laurel.
Thanks so much, Natalie. I'm so excited to be here with everybody.
Me too. I'm excited to dive into your wisdom. Menopause is a hot topic. For those of you that don't know Laurel, Laurel Wilson is an international speaker, an author, and wellness advocate with over 30 years of experience supporting women through various life stages. As an integrative nutrition health coach, certified menopause practitioner, and certified menopause weight loss coach, she specializes in guiding women through transitions such as perimenopause and menopause with a passion for epigenetics, the microbiome, and holistic health. Laurel offers a unique blend of expertise in women's health, nutrition, and mental well-being. She speaks at global conferences, leads retreats, and serves as a mentor, providing women with tools to navigate life's changes with confidence and community. Now, before we dive in, I'd like to just say to my listeners, I know not all of you are women. I know not all of you are women in your 40s, 50s, and whatever, but this topic is something that doesn't actually get covered a lot, definitely not at school or anything like that. So I'm thrilled that we're adding this to our menopause series. We're going to share some wisdom today, and we will share some tips for the men out there as well. Laurel, yeah. I'd love it if you could start us off. In your bio, you actually have so many acronyms, I didn't even read them out, like IBCLC and CLSP and INHC. You've got masses of credentials and experience. I would love it if you could share with our listeners a little bit of the journey that brought you here.
Yeah. So for many years, 30 years, I've been working in the space of supporting people during the perinatal period. So infertility, fertility, pregnancy and postpartum. My main focus had been lactation for many, many, many years. And so like IBCLC is an international board certified lactation consultant. And of course, one of the things that I have always absolutely loved as part of this practice is holistic wellness. And so as part of that journey that I took with my clients and also with myself was ensuring that everyone, the practitioners I worked with and the families I worked with, knew that there were lots of resources to keep themselves health in body, mind, and spirit as they were going through these major life transitions. You know, becoming a parent is a major life transition. And one of the things that I didn't realize was happening to me in my late 30s was perimenopause hit me like a truck. And my doctor said nothing about the fact that my symptoms, all of my symptoms, were related to perimenopause and what was happening to me hormonally. I just thought that I was going a little out, like I just thought I was going off the rails. I didn't know what was going on. And now that I have, you know, gosh, that was a long time ago. That was probably 15 years ago. And now that I look back and see where I could have intervened with myself, had I had the knowledge that I have now, I could have had a much kinder decade to myself. Mm. And that's one of the reasons why I became an integrative nutrition health coach and why now I am focusing on the period of perimenopause and menopause, because it is happening to women earlier and earlier and earlier, primarily because we are seeing acute and chronic levels of stress in our lives that we're not dealing with. And it has shifted the game for people. We're seeing perimenopause start as early as 32 years old for individuals. And so I want to make sure that people recognize this period in our life does not have to be awful. It doesn't have to be terrifying. It doesn't have to be isolating, because our bodies are wise and our bodies are always communicating to us. And these early signs are just our body tapping on our shoulder saying, hey, pay attention to me, you know, listen to me, and let's work on making ourselves healthier, spending some time on me. So that's a little bit about the trajectory, about where I am now and why I'm doing what I'm doing now.
I have a few things I want to comment on. First one is your body is wise. I love that. And we do sometimes need the reminder, because sometimes we think, oh, you know, I don't know what's going on. But your body is trying to tell you something. And the second one was, yes, when you said in your 30s, I was like, that sounds really early to me. And I didn't realize it was something that you said, acute and chronic stress contributing to that kind of earlier experience for people with menopause. So is that a trend that has happened in the last, I don't know, 10 or so years? Or since when has it been so early?
We absolutely are seeing it happen more and more commonly in the past 10 to 15 years. And a lot of that has to do with epigenetics. So epigenetics is essentially how the outside world and sometimes our internal world, like our emotional stress and things of that nature, are impacting how our genes are activating. And because we are seeing incredibly heavy loads of toxins in our communities around us, and because we are essentially never unplugged, we are in this constant state of focused stress now, it has created this burden on our bodies. And one of the things that is happening is that we are now seeing our adrenal systems just shut down. And this impacts how healthy our hormonal lives are. And so one of the things that can happen when we're in this unmitigated stress pattern is we can develop things like adrenal fatigue, and we can start to see our hormones starting to decline earlier and earlier, which is exactly what was happening to me. At the time, I did find a holistic practitioner back then who was sharing with me about how to communicate through my heart and how to pay attention to what I was feeling in relation to what was going on. But there wasn't a link about the fact that the two were happening because of one another. There was just like, oh, be good to yourself, and here's how you can be good to yourself, and maybe these things will feel better, as opposed to, you know what? Because this is going on for you, this is causing all of these things to occur in your body. Now we know better. And epigenetics, the field of epigenetics, has really come around in the past 30 years. And we're now only starting to see how things like chronic stress and even generational stress has changed the game for us in our lives. You know, we actually carry the tags, the epigenetic tags from previous generations, from stressful events, from trauma, from nutritional deprivation, from experiences of war and other tragedy. And it continues to impact us. So now's the time, now that we know, now's the time to listen deeply. Now's the time to heal ourselves, because there is this saying about seven generations, and there are a multitude of cultures that believe in the seven generations theory. Primarily, we have indigenous peoples who believe in the seven generations theory, but there are many other cultures. And it essentially is that what happens for you in this life is a result of the seven generations prior. And what you do in this life is also going to impact seven generations in the future. And I strongly believe in that. You know, like, we have a responsibility to our ancestors, we have a responsibility to ourselves, and we have a responsibility to the future to care for ourselves, care for our environment, and care for our people. So now's the time to take care of our bodies. Pay attention to menopause.
Well, it's so true. And that the seven generations theory is exciting and intimidating at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like, oh, good, great. You know, I can change the trajectory, but at the same time, like, oh my goodness, I need to make sure I do things that are genuinely good, because there's a lot of confusing information out there, right? There's a lot of myths and, you know, just fears and things. Or let's stick to menopause, even around menopause. You know, there's lots of products and things out there that can help people. Do you think certain different things are going to be helpful for different people? Like, it really depends on the unique individual. Can you talk to me about that?
It does depend on the unique individual. And that's because we all come from different genetic lines, right? And the other thing is that genetically and just as a human being, we all have organ systems in our body that may be more hindered than others based on our genes and based on the trajectory of our lives. So for some people, what's going on with them within their perimenopause symptoms is going to show up in their vascular system. They're going to see primarily hot flashes, night sweats. They're going to see palpitations and heart challenges. For some people, it's their liver. Their detox system is, you know, just floundering and really struggling. And so they're going to see problems like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and insulin resistance. And for some people, it's going to be their brain, because, you know, maybe it has to do with their diet. Maybe they are using alcohol as a means of numbing what is going on for them during this perimenopause, menopausal period. And that impacts the brain, impacts sleep. So for each individual, it will be unique based on their symptomology and what's going on with their organ system. But there are also very common things that we all can do to help with everything, like focus on getting good sleep, like reducing alcohol in our diets, you know, like reaching out to community and actually having real and trusted relationships and continuing to nurture them, because we do tend to isolate during perimenopause and menopause. One, because we feel like oh, I don't want to swear, but we feel kind of bitchy, right? During
I was going to say cruddy, yeah.
I'm just going to say it. We feel like that, and we don't want to force that on other people. And so we tend to just kind of isolate ourselves. But it turns us into, it creates frustration in our lives, and it reduces our ability to have those heart connections and feel loved and give love. And those things are all really important because of oxytocin. That's another hormone, the love hormone that we need so significantly during this period of time. You know, we need to connect with our partners. And it is a time when a lot of people end their partner relationships because they are not staying connected. They are not staying in tune. They're not having skin to skin with each other anymore. And we need to have that to stay feeling healthy and, you know, wise and good.
It's interesting what you were saying about the isolation, because straight away I had a particular friend come to mind. You know, she's like, oh, I've put on so much weight, and she's really recluse. And for some people, you know, different personality types as well. I just want to throw that in there as well. But I think there's a difference between isolation and valuable, intentional retreat and refuel. You know what I mean? It's important that we actually take time for ourselves and we don't just rush around and go out for social lunches if we don't feel like it or whatever. But there's a difference between that, like intentional, I'm going to call it retreat and refuel, versus like isolation. So how does a woman, like, let's say someone's listening and they think, oh gosh, I have actually been isolating myself because I feel a bit embarrassed about whatever, my mood, my weight, whatever, my body. Mm-hmm. What are some things they can do to kind of get back into that community connection you talked about that was so vital?
Yeah, I mean, simply doing it, finding local groups of women who are experiencing similar things, like going, there's a lot of, like, here in the United States, we have something called Meetup where you can find people who are interested in things that you're doing. Yeah. They're online groups and people can create a group about anything. Like there's a Meetup group in my area that likes to meet up and talk about chickens. Like they love chickens. So you can create them and you can find them. But one of the most important things I think is to ensure that you are keeping in touch with one or two of your besties, of your very close friends who can identify when you are isolating versus retreating and caring for yourselves. Mm-hmm. And for example, I have one of my very close friends, you know, post-pandemic, I was still in that, I can't go out of my house. I just became this recluse and she called me out on it. She called me and she's like, this is it. It's over. You are not going to not engage anymore. It's unhealthy for you. It's unhealthy for our friend community. We are going for a walk, And she scheduled walks for us to go on and be together. And my mental health improved so much just by being, of course, I was going out in nature every day anyway, but going out in nature with someone I really loved and talking about the things that were really feeling very harmful, We need our community. And I do agree with you. There is a difference between taking the time to draw away from all the noise and feel ourselves regenerating. And then the difference of never connecting. Okay. So when we're in disconnect, that's not good. We want to be in retreat, in connection versus in disconnection.
So interesting what you were saying about your friend. Good on her for calling you out. Because that's right. It's so easy to fall into the when and then, when I lose 5 more kg, then I'll finally get in touch with my friends, or when I feel better, then I'll reengage. And it's like that the months just go by. So sometimes you need someone like that bestie of yours to be like, listen, we're going, I'll pick you up in 2 hours. It's happening.
You do. And sometimes you need to ask your community as you start to notice these symptoms to, hey, please call me out. Please invite me to places. Please show up at my house, even though you know that I won't have cleaned my house in 2 weeks. Show up, be there for me, because I'm going to need that. I'm not going to reach out and ask. So, sometimes it's just a matter of being honest with your friend group and even with your partner. It's important to be honest with your partner about what you're going through and what you need, because a lot of partners, and particularly if your partner is of the male species, they're not going through it. There is something called male menopause. They do experience a decrease in testosterone, and that impacts their mental health and their physicality as well. But they are experiencing it in a very different way than the female body is. And so they don't recognize that this changing being person they may have been in relationship for decades sometimes, that it's not like they're trying to withdraw from them, but their hormones are running the show, or what I should say is their lack of hormones are running the show now. And so you have to develop new ways of communicating with them and new ways of being tolerant of one another.
Well, I'm so glad you raised that about the partners. What message do you have for the men out there who are listening and thinking, well, menopause doesn't necessarily relate to me, but they might have a sister, they might have a cousin or a wife or a partner. What are some things that you wish the men had known or been told? Because like you said, sometimes the wife won't communicate it. Like I remember saying out loud at the dinner table a few months ago, some people have menopause, some people have teenagers, and some people have COVID. And I had all three at the same time. Many of us did, right? Many of us did. My husband was like, what does that have to do with anything? So, okay, well, what is something that some of the men might, it might be good for them to know?
Yeah. Well, oh gosh, what don't I want them to know? One is I encourage them to listen to the podcasts that their partners are listening to. Like they should know. They should be listening to podcasts on menopause. They should be interested in these things. You know, like I often will encourage when my husband and I are driving around, I'm like, let's listen to one of your podcasts. So I'm familiar with what's going on with him and what he's interested in. So I encourage them to do that. But the other piece of it is that sexuality and sleep are really intricately connected during this menopausal period. And if we're not sleeping, likely sex is not happening with the partner. You know, like it's not, we're exhausted. And sometimes our brains are very, very low functioning when we go through that period of absolutely no sleep. For me, as an example, I had almost a year and a half where I was living off of about 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night. And it was very hard even just to do minimal functioning and maintain a full-time, you know, full-time work and all of these things. But it significantly impacts our estrogen. And when that happens, what we do know about menopause for women is that 100% of them will have genital urinary syndrome, okay? 100% if they don't have some form of menopause hormone therapy. What that does is it causes vaginal atrophy. It impacts how our urethra is functioning. We're more likely to have bladder infections. You know, the suppleness of the vagina and the exterior portion of our perineum, it changes in consistency, and sex can become incredibly painful. And we often don't communicate that. And there's some really simple things we can do. Like there's all sorts of natural lubricants. There are estrogen tabs. There are estrogen creams. There are things we can use internally, externally, lots of these things that we can actually help ourselves with. But many women don't even know that this is what's going on and why sex is uncomfortable. And they're not talking to their partner about, you know what? I don't want to have sex, not because I don't find you attractive anymore or because I'm not like in it with you, but because it is so uncomfortable and painful. So I wish men knew that and that they would open the door to communication. They would kind of have this dance about, you know, what can we do together to make this more comfortable? And if it's not comfortable, how do we change it? You know, sex lives may need to change for a period of time as you're getting control over those symptoms and learning how to manage them and making yourself feel better.
Well, I'm glad you went there. I wrote at the little top of my sheet, like R18 warning. No, I'll probably do a little preamble into this, but I think it's great that you mention it because a lot of women listening will be going, oh my goodness, I thought that was just me, you know, like it's that you're not alone thing and it's not everybody. And also I'm pleased earlier when you mentioned the different ways that things will present, like for some women, it's more about the hot flashes and the heart and things. I was on a Zoom call just before this interview and the woman I was with goes, oh, hang on, I'm having a hot flush. Like she literally was having it. And I was like, oh, I've only ever had one. I loved it because I'm usually really cold. So I was like, oh, this is cool. This is great. So I don't really have those, but I have a really bad headache that comes on for 24 hours. Once a month. That's pretty much all I have. But thank you for going there with the just being really direct about the bedroom. And I think it'll really just create a lot of like what I call like aha, not aha moments, but shoulder drop moments. Like, oh, okay. Like, oh, it's not just me. And hopefully that'll encourage some couples to have some more, you know, direct, courageous conversations around what, like you said, what can we do to make things more comfortable?
Yeah. And, you know, invite your partner to go to your obstetrical or midwifery appointment with you. And you guys can have a conversation together. Like, these are the things that are uncomfortable for me. What can we do together to change that? You know, like, is there menopause hormone therapy that I can use? What, you know, what would you suggest? And I mean, they know, and they can help you and they can support you. And that way you can feel more connected to your partner if sex is an important part of your life or has been. So for many, many people it is. So you want to keep that rolling.
Keep that rolling. You mentioned hormone therapy, and I know there's obviously a range of different views on these things. I tend to be personally way more down the natural route than anything else. And especially after the past 4 years, I've just gone even further down the natural path. And I know it's unique for each woman, but can you comment on that? Like, are there a few things that people should know about hormone therapy that's going to be helpful, or estrogen?
Yeah. So the Women's Health Initiative a few decades ago did sort of a ground breaking study looking at a very, very large subset of individuals. And their conclusion after that, well, what they shared with the public was that it was dangerous. And all of a sudden, all these women who were being very helped by menopause hormone therapy were taken off of it. And like that was in the time period, like when my mother was using menopause hormone therapy and found it very, very beneficial. And then they were all stopped cold turkey because they were afraid that they were going to have heart attacks and strokes. And what we now know by digesting and looking back at that data versus the new large meta-analyses that are reviewing the current research and very large studies that have been going on now is that they were misrepresenting what was going on. What we know about menopause hormone therapy is that if it is started prior to the age of 60, that it can be enormously beneficial. It can be supportive for women's bone health, their brain health, reduce their risk of, you know, cognitive issues, significantly reduce their risk of heart disease, In fact, that is the number one thing that women die from is heart disease. It's not breast cancer. It's heart disease. And menopause hormone therapy, estrogen specific, can really protect our hearts. And so there's a whole lot of information out there now that we are discovering about how important it can be. And in fact, we used to only suggest that it was utilized during the perimenopausal period and early menopause. Now it is suggested like it's a lifetime thing. You can use it forever because it is forever supportive and good for all of your different systems. And why that is because every single organ system in the female body has estrogen receptors, and we need estrogen in order for those systems to be supported optimally. And you can do it through bioidenticals. You can do it through phytoestrogens, which, you know, it sounds like that is the way that you're, you know, someone who's looking for a more natural bent is looking at. You can do it through nutrition is not necessarily going to give you the levels of helping out your ovaries to pump out estrogen to the levels that our bodies need, but it can be enormously effective and helpful for some women. I think that it's important that we have a discussion with our healthcare providers when we reach that age of whether or not it will be beneficial to us. And for those who are interested in exclusively natural methods, you know, functional practitioners talking to their naturopath. There are lots of options for us to support our hormonal health on beyond menopause into post menopause to keep all of those systems functioning optimally.
Well, thank you for that response. And at first I was going to ask you like, oh, what exactly are you talking about? Meaning what product? But what I'm hearing from you, there's a range of options depending on the person and depending on what you're after. Because I think a lot of people just know, oh, I'm going to get the HRT patch because my friend has it. But there's lots of different options out there. But speaking to someone like a naturopath or functional medicine, it can be overwhelming for people to know which way to go. But
It can be overwhelming for people. And for example, you know, some people like to have compounded therapy so that they have a gel that they get compounded at their natural pharmacy, and that may have progesterone, bioidentical progesterone and estrogen that they're just rubbing into their skin. And they find like that is better than a patch for them because the patch irritates their skin. You know, just like I was talking about the vaginal support, you know, some people use an estrogen tab, some people use estrogen cream, some people use estrogen gel, some people just put it on the perineum, some people use it internally. It depends on what your symptoms are. And it also depends on whether you've had a hysterectomy or not. It depends on, you know, it depends on your genetics and your heart health. It depends on a lot. So that's when we look to our wise healthcare providers to help guide us. And one thing we love, like here in the United States, we have the Menopause Society. So you can look up your area and you can find practitioners who have been trained specifically in the latest and greatest research around menopause. And there are menopause organizations now in many countries. I'm sure there's one in Australia as well that can identify practitioners that have received specific training. So they're familiar.
Yes. Well, we also have something, it's international, but the PHA, which is the People's Health Alliance, I'm sure they have not so much a business directory, but that's right, people that you can connect with for specific things and specifically for menopause. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. Today, I'm talking to Laurel Wilson, all the way from USA. We're talking about optimizing your experience of menopause, and she shared some amazing tips and insights with us so far. We would love to hear your thoughts. We would love to hear what you have learned from this discussion so far, as well as what is working for you. You can send us a message. You can send a text 2057 or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. I'm going to go to my wrap-up questions in a moment, but before I do, is there anything else, Laurel, that you would like to share with us in terms of things that we can do or think about or actions we can take or things we can stop doing in terms of optimizing our experience of menopause?
One thing that I think is really key to helping everyone who's going through this process is getting our sleep under control. Sleep is significantly impacts our ability to function, and it makes our symptoms worse. And so one of the things that we do strongly suggest is to check your cortisol levels. You know, check your cortisol levels in the morning and evening. You can get at-home tests to do this and, you know, talk about the results with your healthcare practitioner. But you want to have high cortisol in the morning and low cortisol in the evening. And some things you can do to help your brain in that is get your eyeballs on sunshine in the morning. Make sure that you're getting at least 10 minutes of sunshine if you possibly can. And if not, you want to get the, you know, full spectrum lights that are giving your eyeballs some good light to help amp up your cortisol. And in the evening, you want to go out, you want to watch the sunset, because that cues your brain that it's evening, and it helps your brain start to release melatonin to prepare your body for sleep. We also want to do sleep hygiene, like turning off our TVs, turning off our phones, any of that artificial light, the blue light, we want to eliminate in the evening as much as we possibly can. And if you can't do it, get blue light blockers on your glasses and change the settings on your smartphone so you're not getting so much of that blue light. And finally, one of my favorite things to do in the evening is legs up the wall. You sit, you can be on the floor or in your bed, scooch up so your legs are up the wall. It helps to calm your brain. It communicates to your vagus nerve that everything is okay. Prepares your brain for sleep, prepares your body for sleep. And while you're doing that, you can do some deep breathing. If you have a partner, chat with your partner about your day that time, and then it prepares you to sleep. Just flip your legs around and go into a deep, deep sleep. So protect your sleep. I guess that's my final word, is just protect your sleep. And if you're noticing sleep challenges, find resources to help protect your sleep. You know, like I have a course on sleep. Lots of people have courses on sleep, lots of books on sleep. Protect your sleep.
It's such a critical thing. Legs up wall. I haven't thought about that in a while. Thank you for the reminder. And when you mentioned that, I thought, oh yeah, I go in, I say goodnight to specifically my daughter. I do have two sons as well, but it's like, I could easily put my leg, we could both have our legs up the wall and have a little kind of daily debrief. That would be fun to
do.
So good. And I'm going to, eyeballs on the sunrise, eyeballs on the sunset, everyone. Quick reminder. Laurel, I know you have 30 years experience helping women with lactation. Mm-hmm. Is there some connection between lactation and menopause and anything that you want our listeners to know around that?
Yeah. So now new research is suggesting that if we have particular challenge in pregnancy, for example, if we have gestational diabetes in pregnancy, that during the perimenopausal and menopausal period, we are much more likely to develop insulin resistance and prediabetes and potentially diabetes. So it is something to pay attention for and to be on the watch for, as well as our mental health. If we have prenatal depression, postpartum depression, we are much more likely to develop depression during perimenopause and menopause. So again, it's not always the case, it doesn't happen, but there's a greater likelihood. And so one of the things, again, these are just those taps on our shoulder of pay attention. Okay. These are risk factors for you. So let's be proactive, look for them so that we can make sure we are supporting our health as optimally as we possibly can.
Well, I think a lot of women, I mean, that's quite eye-opening to a lot of listeners, but a lot of them, again, will be like, oh my gosh, that totally makes sense. Or now they can be empowered. Like you said, okay, knowing what I journeyed through, that, you know, my pregnancy was really tricky or whatever. Okay. Or the depression or whatever. I'm ready and I'm prepared and I'm proactive. So thank you for sharing that. That's valuable insight. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Quick question from me that I want to know. What are your thoughts on soy milk?
Well, I guess it depends on how it was produced, right? So much of the products that we're drinking today have been exposed to a significant amount of pesticides, which cause problems with xenoestrogen loads, which impact our hormones. So I'm a little hesitant on products. So if you have like a fully organic soy milk, I think it is fine as long as you have the constitution that, for example, if you have a lot of belly fat, which is very common minnow belly when we start to get into like our 40s and 50s, this is a sign that you are, this adipose tissue is starting to be an endocrine producer in itself, and it is starting to produce estrogen itself. And if you have that sort of body constitution, you probably want to avoid those types of foods, things like eggs, okay, chicken, and foods like soy milk. But if you're not, if you have that very thin constitution and frame and you're not really carrying weight there and you're getting a very, very clean source of soy, I don't see a problem with it. In fact, we know that many Asian countries, they don't even have a word for menopause because they have foods that are very rich in soy throughout their entire life. And so the impact of declining estrogen on them is minimal, but they have different sources of soy. They eat it in different ways. They eat it fermented. So I guess it's a complicated answer. There's not like a yes or no. It depends on the individual and it depends on the source.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer because even with coffee, you know, these days the cafes in New Zealand have definitely improved over the 27 years that, since I've lived here. And you go to most cafes and they've got oat, they've got coconut, they've got soy, almonds sometimes. So that's kind of primarily why I was asking. But also in my household, I've got a vegan, so that we've got oats and oat milk and soy milk. So I wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think. Well, and it also depends on what's going on with your gut. You know, like how does your gut respond to different forms of milks? because that's also really important. And that really changes as we move into menopause. The microbiome shifts significantly and we have more pathogenic bacteria in our gut as our estrogen levels decline. And so how we respond to certain foods changes for many women and our sensitivities to foods change. Things we've eaten for years, all of a sudden our body doesn't tolerate well. So it also may change for, you know, every person as they hit this stage and go like, oh, my favorite food, I can't have it anymore. It makes me really uncomfortable.
Thank you. Another aha moment, because a lot of people wouldn't have realized that there's a connection there between menopause and changing taste. So it's really a message of coming back to your body, listening to your body, listening to the signs. I'm going to ask you the up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave, Laurel, and I'd love everyone listening to think about this for yourself as well. If you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months, only a couple left in 2024, what would you do or not do?
Yeah. So I think I would just get myself out there more. You know, I tend to be really hesitant out in the social media world because, you know, you were mentioning as you gain a few pounds or things like, as you can fully see here, I decided to embrace my silver a few years ago. And I don't love being on camera anymore. But the reality is that's how people listen to you now, you know? So I think to up my brave, I need to get out there visually a little bit more, be more comfortable with the fact that my body's changed, my face has changed, my hair has changed, because it's important to get this information out to women. It's important for us to embrace this next stage and move into it with this excitement about what's next, because there really is an amazing freedom that occurs as our bodies and our minds are freed from fertility hormones of our youth. It changes our brain and allows it to expand and think in new and different ways. So it can be a very exciting time too.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, because you're right. It's a big, massive shift. And I know a lot of women in this age, we kind of don't care as much what other people think of us mm-hmm. we're more confident to speak our truth and stand up for ourselves. I noticed a big shift in the way my mom showed up and the dynamic of my parents' relationship. And they're mm-hmm. like super lovey-dovey couple. They're yeah. hilarious. But it wasn't always like that. You know, she was way more subservient when I was growing up, and he was more boss and, you know, all that. But over the years, you know, it's really shifted. And I really see a lot of women stepping into their power as such. So thank you for, you know, we're going to kind of end on that positive note. It's not just symptoms and ailments and things. It's like, this is a massive, exciting time in your life. We can reframe the way we think about it. By the way, you know, so many women are going silver, and it's amazing. You actually look blonde to me on the video, but so many women are going silver, which I think is really awesome. I decided to go ginger. I'm actually a natural blonde, but I went ginger a couple of years ago.
I love ginger too.
All right. What is coming up for you, either socially or in business, and how can people reach out and follow you online?
Yeah. So coming up, we have our Move, Thrive, Feel Alive program moving into subscription. So people can join it and they get group coaching and fitness and meditations and education and everything on a monthly basis. And also I have my menopause retreats coming up. We'll be releasing those in just it'll be very soon when this podcast comes out.
Are those in America? Is that where they're happening?
One in Bali and one in Santa Fe. So those will be releasing the dates coming up very soon. So hopefully some of you can join us, and it should be a lot of fun, where we're going to be just really focusing on health and freedom and connection and fun. So
I love everything you just said: health, freedom, connection, and fun. That's basically like all my four top values. It sounds amazing. Okay. And I know you're going to put yourself out there a little bit more. So can you let us know your websites and your social media? And by the way, everyone, as always, I endeavor to put this information on the replay page as well. Where can they find you online?
Yeah. So my website is laurelawilson.com, and my handles on social media are Mother Journey Laurel Wilson. So that incorporates my perinatal support and my menopause support. Mother Journey Laurel Wilson.
Amazing. We'll put those down and people can be in touch. Is there anything else you'd love to share with our listeners on the topic of optimizing your experience of menopause before we go?
Well, the last thing I want to share is that for many years, we've only considered three life stages. We've considered, the maiden, the mother, and the crone. But now that we're living this longer life as a result of all these amazing advances in our world, and we're living much longer lives, there's a new stage. And we call that the wise woman stage. And so it's the period between having children and making it into, you know, our great and fabulous much elder years. But it is a period that we haven't been real familiar with, because it hasn't really existed until the last 20 to 30 years. So it's exciting. Embrace it, enjoy it, and just, you know, step into it with education and openness.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Laurel, for joining us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for hosting me, and thank you to your audience.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. There is always something new to learn. I find with every person I chat with, it was so great to talk to Laurel Wilson. I hope you enjoyed that interview. We talked about so many things, including acute and chronic stress contributing to early menopause and some people in their 30s, how our bodies are wise. She also talked about sleep hygiene and epigenetics, and the seven generation theory, as well as concepts like male menopause and all sorts of other things. You can find out more about Laurel, as well as her program, Move, Thrive, Feel Alive. I love the name of that. She's got retreats in Bali and Santa Fe. It's all available on her website, laurelwilson.com. You can find her on the socials as well. And if you like this interview, you'll also love my interviews with Kate Billing, also Lisa Tregenza, and also Tracy Minock Nuku. We have a whole series called The Menopause Map that you can check out on the Reality Check Radio website or app. All right, we're going to go to a song. In fact, we're going to go to two songs. Here's what's coming up. First up, we're going to play This Is Me by Kayla Settle, followed by We'll Figure It Out by Beautiful Chorus. So a little bit of info here. This Is Me is a powerful anthem about self-acceptance and standing proud in your true self. I'm sure you might have heard it, making it a fitting tribute to embracing everyone's evolving identity through menopause or just life in general. We'll Figure It Out is one of the latest tracks off of Beautiful Chorus's 2024 album called High Frequency Love Music. I hope you enjoy their high vibe harmony as much as I did when I first heard it. So here it is. We're going to go to This Is Me, followed by We'll Figure It Out.
This is Up Your Brave on Reality Check Radio, Fridays, 10 a.m.
At this point in the show, I sometimes do a little bit of a flashback, and occasionally I'll do a sneak peek of something coming up or something gone past in on the Up Your Brave show or somewhere else on Reality Check Radio. And today, it's somewhere else. But you're still going to hear my voice because many moons ago, in fact, only many months ago, I was interviewed by Jerry Pives, one of my fellow hosts, and he asked some really intriguing questions. I've mentioned the interview before, but I've never aired any of it on my show. And I thought, you know what? I would love to air it. Jerry lives in Wanaka. I'm going to go visit him in 2025. I'm heading over to Wanaka, everybody. So I would love to catch up with anyone over there. Message me if you're down that way. But yeah, Jerry asks some very probing questions. His show is called The Psychotherapist's Chair. And it was interesting to be in his chair as such. So here you go. And as he asks me these questions, I would love to invite you to ponder, what would you say if he asked you these questions as well? Here it is.
If you're wondering what on earth you're listening to me, Jerry Pives, talking to Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair. And Natalie's taking us through her childhood and her life. And I'm wondering about, what do you think, if you think of your parents as giving you a gift, what do you think your father gave you and what do you think your mother gave you? If you were to be able to, I mean, it's really hard to sum it up, isn't it?
No, it's easy. It's so easy.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, my dad, confidence. My mom, love.
Wow, that's sorted.
Well, my mom, I've never met anyone and I'm the go-to girl. That is literally my business name, Go-To Girl Limited. And why did I call myself that? Because I know everybody, you know, like I know so many people and I connect them. And so I know a lot of people, that's the context. And of all the people I know, never have I ever met anyone other than my sister, my older sister. So nice. Like someone that is just so non-judgmental. So like, I've never heard my mom say anything bad about anyone. And neither have I really ever seen her cry or get angry. And I know we're not supposed to get too personal, but and we could go down that path because, you know, I think expressing emotions is really important. So, but I'm just saying, like, wow. So I grew up with a role model who was ever available, ever helpful, you know, sewing dresses for my school prom and all the things. And so lovely and loving. And then a dad that was so hardworking and so confident in what he thought and what he was doing and where he was going. Obviously, he's an Olympian and an orthopedic surgeon, so it's not surprising. But he's also really funny. And all the people that work with him, you know, in the theater, he's retired now from surgery, but they used to always say, like, he was so much fun to work with because he's just like me. Like, we're a bit of a goof. Like, so he's a bit of a clown. But so he can be very strong and opinionated, same as me. I can be very serious. And sometimes when I facilitate meetings, like, I don't like when people piss around. You know, and I know exactly what I want and I can be very direct, but also I can be super like nerdy and just dancing like a geek and whatever. And so he's kind of the same. So yeah, that's easy. Confidence and love.
And how was it for you as you navigated what you just described really, which was your own view that, you know, it's really important to be able to express your feelings. How was that journey for you?
Well, it's something that I talk about a lot now, and it's something that I work with a lot of people, meaning, so my clients, so I help the people who help the people, okay? So my clients are the people that help people express their emotions. I help people express their message, so I'm like a speaker coach. So I really am very close with and in alignment with the importance of people expressing their emotions, and if we suppress our emotions, it often results in health problems. And I people on my show have heard me talk about this a lot. So I'm a big believer in that. And so I really feel like growing up, I'm trying to remember, like I'm always saying to my parents, what was I like, you know, when I was 10, when I was 12, like, what do you remember? I even want to say to some of my friends, like, what was I like when I was in high school? What are your memories of me? I'm so fascinated by the humanity journey and who we are and how we evolve. My dad was really, so he was just such a hard worker, and he was, I guess, not home a lot. You know, he's working all the time. And so he was either on the golf course or working, or always, though, home for family dinner. We had family dinner every single night. And I've done the same thing with my family. So my oldest is 17. Like, I can probably count on one hand, like, when we haven't actually all sat around and had dinner together at the table. So that's just what we do. So that's always been something that's been really important. I would probably be the most expressive of the three children. I've always been the one that has, let's just call it, the courage to call people out, including my parents, and to really say what needs to be said. which I don't know if I've always been like that. That's just my memory. I think I was a pretty easy child. I wasn't like stirring the pot or anything. But not until in my 40s, you know, not until probably year one or two of COVID did I really need to walk my own talk and up my brave and literally call up on the phone and call out my dad for some of the things he said. And again, without getting too personal, I think that was such a big moment for me. Not until I was in my late 40s, right, did I actually have the need. Like, there was never really a situation where I needed to. And that was a big milestone for me, walking my talk in that way.
Well, I am certain that many listeners' ears will prick up at this, because so many of us have had challenges around communicating different views, shall we say, from what became a certain narrative or conventional line of thinking. I mean, how did you navigate that? Because it sounds like you've navigated, well, how have you navigated that? How has that been for you?
I would say we've gotten closer, which is sometimes the case. You know, when you have maybe you and a friend get in a little bit of a fight over whatever the reason is. And sometimes, because you then have a heart to heart, your connection, your relationship deepens, right? Rather than being surfacey and think, you know, like, should we go to the movie? What time is it at? Yeah. You know, so suddenly you're having deeper conversations. And I feel like that's what happened with me and my dad in the last 4 years, because we were so polar opposite. You have to remember, orthopedic surgeons, so not surprising. And we've been, you know, vaccinated the whole way through and all the things. So it was very confusing to him that I would suddenly do a 180. And, well, it wasn't really a 180. I was never advocating before. I was always into holistic health and natural things. But never before had I thought about that part of health, really. And so all of a sudden, I was not only not keen, but I was actually verbalizing it. And he did not like that. That was not a popular thing to do. And then, of course, when Stuff wrote that hit piece about me, actually, there were two of them, that did not land well. Because some people are embarrassed when their children do things that don't align with them. But the good news is I don't believe in embarrassment. And I'm happy for you to call me out in that, if that's a thing. But so, yeah, I really just had to be like, if my daughter, you know, I was like, I understand that you're upset. This is what I said on the phone. I understand that you're upset. If my daughter was misrepresented by the media, I would also be upset. But that is what I said. And I said it quite like that, like very calm and considered, but very clear. And when you talk, so he's a driver. I don't know if you know these personality types, the expressive, the driver, the amiable, the analytic. So when you talk to a driver, you got to talk to a driver like a driver. And so, I am a driver, so it's pretty easy for me to do. So we're very direct, we're very clear. We can sometimes come across as overly bossy. So if I was to come across kind of weak and apologetic, you know, that's just not who I am. And that's not. And so I talked to a driver like a driver, and it worked.
Wow. I'm kind of speechless at that, because that's not a story you hear too much. It's not a story I've heard too much. Maybe you've heard that story elsewhere, but I haven't. And I think that really says something about the clarity and the strength with which you talk, Natalie. I mean, just in this conversation, we've never really talked in depth before. I mean, we've bumped into each other and been kind of seen each other around, as it were. But as you talk, I'm struck by your wonderful clarity of thought. You have such a clear way of communicating. And I wonder if that had an impact on, like you say, that you didn't apologize, you weren't, you know, you didn't whine about it or anything. You just came straight back and gave the opinion that you wanted him to know you had. And it sounds like he accepted that. Is that right?
Yeah. I think what I didn't do is I didn't go like, how dare you? How dare you treat me like, you know, I didn't have a tanty about it. But interestingly, Jerry, first of all, thank you for your comments. I get a lot of people telling me that I'm very, very clear in my enunciation, but also in my message. And you'd hope so, because that is what I help people to do in their business and life as well. But as I said, I've always been fascinated by humanity and in particular myself. So I'm very clear on who I am, and I'm very clear on who I'm not. And I'm very clear on my strengths, and I'm very clear on my gaps. But I'm always open to learning. But sadly, on the other hand, I would say my mom and I probably took a step back, which is interesting. So she was the one that never said anything bad. In fact, she never said anything at all. You know, she was the one that, you know, they would drive by the Wellington protest and I said, oh, did you see that thing about how the police were treating the people? She's like, oh, well, they've been there for 2 days. They've made their points. They should really move on, you know, things like, so she'll make a few comments like that. But what I found is, as a daughter, I just felt like she didn't stand up for me and she didn't protect me.
So what is it you think that, I mean, because the listeners are going to be really interested in this whole subject, and I'm certainly very interested in how do people from very different, as it were, sides of the river build bridges towards each other? How do we find each other again after many of us were, I believe, quite deliberately and artificially pushed apart and made to think that we are sitting on opposite banks of a river? What do you think helped in that process with your family?
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. I think we were divided and intentionally, in my words, sick, stressed, suppressed, and separated. For me, it's really, really to reappreciate who that person is and to really understand. So not understand, understand who they are. So when I talk about my dad, I'm like, well, of course he's going to react like that because he's strong, he's opinionated, he knows what he thinks. He's a doctor. So he's literally been indoctrinated his whole life. And he was personally offended by the fact that I questioned something that he had a field that he was the expert in. And as he reminded me, sweetheart, you studied social science, not science. And so, okay, so I can understand that, oh, of course he's going to react like that because look at who he is and what he believes. So there's a little bit of forgiveness there. But then there's also the fact that we were able to come and talk to each other directly because of who we are and that there's that mutual respect. Then there's my mother, where harmony is probably in her top five if anyone does Clifton Strength Finders. Well, strategy is in my top five, as is futuristic and individualization and communication, anyway, an activator. Harmony is in my mom's top five. And remember earlier I said I never really saw her get mad or really upset, actually, in my whole childhood. So I feel like because harmony is one of her top five, and that's just the way she operates, even when my dad was verbally attacking me, you know, telling me off and like all the things, she didn't stand up for me. She didn't step in. She didn't defend. And so for me, as a mother of a daughter and two other boys, I was just like, if that were me, I would be straight in. If my husband was treating my daughter like that, I would be like, hang on, you know, I would be in there. But here's the thing, Jerry. Again, because I understand who my mom is and I know, you know, the backstory and all the things, she's not a crusader, a warrior, the way I am. She's just not. And so for me, over the past 27 years, ever since moving to New Zealand, probably, and realizing that not everyone's here to change the world, Nat, as much as you would like to think they are. Not everyone has that role in life. Some people, they are the supporter. Like, she is the supporter of my dad, the doctor, and that's who she is. And I used to give my mom journals, and I'd be like, as a birthday gift, here's a journal, write your goals and dreams. She never wrote one word. It's like, Nat, not everyone is here, okay, for the same raise thing. And that, and just that alone has really helped me to appreciate people for who they are. We're all on our own journey. Oh, you gotta love Jerry. He's so much fun. He's so easy to talk to. and so insightful and wise as well. I'm really curious to see or to hear what responses you would have given to some of the questions Jerry was talking to me about. You can definitely listen to the whole interview. It's quite long, but if you've got time on your hands, go to the replay page for the psychotherapist chair. You can find it there, or you can possibly just type my name in the search bar. Who knows? And it'll come up when you search for that on the replay page. I would love to hear your thoughts. Send me a text, 2057, or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. To follow this, I thought we would play a nice song, a lovely song called Attract. This song is by, let's see if I can say this properly, Equanimous, Ruby Chase and Bliss Looper, which is all about, it makes me think about, and it is all about attraction. And it makes me think about what is it that we attract into our lives. And as many people know, sometimes the people you hang around with or the thoughts that you think can obviously influence what you attract into your life. And I always do my utmost. It's not always easy to focus on what I want more of, instead of sometimes it's human nature to focus on things that are bothering us, which I would categorize as things that we want less of in our lives. So what do you want to attract into your world, into your life in the coming months and in 2025? Hopefully this song will inspire you to visualize what you truly desire. Here it is. This is Attract. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today here on the Up Your Brave show. It has been amazing. It has been so fascinating to chat with these incredible guests that I've had the honor of talking to today. Anne Marie Lyons, if you just joined us and you missed her interview, you can catch that on the replay page. She's talking about superannuation, specifically for Aussies, Australians. And I also talked to Laurel Wilson, another menopause from our Menopause Map series. We talked about optimizing your experience of menopause. Such a great interview there. And then I had a little bit of a flashback with my interview with Jerry Pives. So before we go, I thought I would read something out to you. Last week, if you listened to my show, I read one of my Facebook posts that caused a bit of a stir. It had many, many comments on it. But today I'm going to read something else. This is one of the people that I follow on Telegram. This is Brad, known as Truth Warrior. And this is something he wrote. It was probably a week ago, but I still think it's so timely. So I'm going to read it out. He said, Brad's Truth Warriors, looks like Kamala, the Democrat, has lost the election. I'm definitely grateful. He said that timeline would have been interesting. Hopefully everyone can now move on and start focusing time, energy, and attention on what we can actually control. Solutions, aligned action, and stepping into our power as independent sovereign beings. Politicians won't save us. Governments won't save us. The old system won't save us. We need to stand up and save ourselves. And then it's got like a fist bump emoji. Support local, ethical, sustainable business. Boycott big business. Vote with your dollars. Stop following the BS orders. Do the inner work. Speak your truth. Be the change you wish to see. We all have the power to collectively create change. Billions against thousands. It's time to lead ourselves in a brand new, empowering direction. The world is desperately crying out for more leaders. We are the ones we have been waiting for. Boom. Well, there you go. I thought that was so apt, which means appropriate, I think. And also, I thought, you know, it really reflects a lot of what the Up Your Brave show is all about. If you're a new listener, you probably get the gist of my show. If you're a longtime listener, you know that we are all about motivation, inspiration, empowerment, and more. And I thought that pretty much just sums it up so nicely. So there you go. Before we send you off with a farewell song, I would love to invite you to check out my website. It's been a journey with my website, but it's now up and running again. It's called upyourbrave.com. I am a visibility coach for fellow coaches and business owners, and I also have a vitality side to my business with essential oils. I would love to support you to be empowered to speak your truth. I also have a great page, which is my recommended for you page, which has a lot of other people that can help you on your journey to up your brave in whatever area of life is needing a little bit of extra TLC at the moment, whether that be your wellness, your relationships, your business, or something else. So check that out, upyourbrave.com. You can follow me on the socials, but please make sure you also follow Reality Check Radio on the socials. And if you feel so inclined, please go ahead and go to maybe our Facebook page or maybe Instagram and share something on your story or share something onto your page. We would really appreciate that to help spread the word about what we are doing to share all sides of the story and talk about topics that don't often get covered. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, I am your host. This is Natalie Cutler-Welsh saying, remember to up your brave. Here she is, Sarah Bareilles, with her song, Brave.
Somebody's lack of love, or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do when they settle near your skin, kept on the inside and no sunlight. Sometimes a shadow wins, but I wonder what would happen if you say what you want to say and let the world.
You've been listening to Up Your Brave with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on RCR, Reality Check Radio.